Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be with you. I know some of you had the week off. It was spring break. Still is spring break for many of our folks. And so we had a great week of rest and time with family. And we're finishing up the last touches of unpacking our things in our new rental house. And so we're really excited to really feel like we are here with all of our stuff. So it was a great week for us. Again, I hope it was a great week for you. I mentioned it at the beginning. We are in the season of Easter. We often think of Easter as a day, but Easter really is a season. From now until Pentecost, we will celebrate Easter. We will celebrate the fact that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia, alleluia. And so each week, we're going to look at different texts, different passages from the Gospels that help us understand and look into this incredible miracle called the resurrection. And so this morning I want to invite you to grab one of the pew Bibles, these black Bibles that are around the room, and turn to page 1077. 1077, that's John chapter 20, those verses I just read beginning in verse 19. So again, page 1077. And I want you to have that in front of you because we're going to talk about a couple of key phrases here that Jesus utters. And I want to really kind of plumb the depths just a little bit of what Jesus is speaking to his disciples and to us. As we begin, I want to begin with a question. And the question is this: what are you afraid of? What is it in this world that you are afraid of? Maybe you're afraid of snakes. Anybody in here afraid of snakes? Okay, I see a few hands. How about spiders? We get anybody on spiders? Yeah, I hate spiders too, but I can crush them. So, you know, I can kind of handle that. You know what I don't like, what I'm afraid of, is something I encountered in Texas when we moved there for the first time. I'll never forget, we had some friends. They said, hey, we have a ranch house. Love for you to use that ranch house. Why don't you come out? They gave us a list of all the things we needed to know to get the house kind of up and running and have a good time. And it was all these great things and normal things. And then we got down on the list. And I kid you not, it said, be sure to check all rooms for scorpions. And I read that and I was like, nope, nope. We don't do scorpions. I'm a North Carolina boy. Snakes, okay, spiders, but not scorpions. We all have things, right, that we're afraid of in this life. And the reality is there's all kinds of fears. There's this kind of level of fear that we're talking about, kind of jokingly. But there's also deeper fears, what I would call kind of the abiding fears that we all face at different points in our lives. And those kinds of fears have the power to really shape our relationships and shape our lives in significant ways. So, for example, you may have a real struggle, a real fear when it comes to change. Many of us find change to be debilitatingly difficult. You may have a lot of fear that you carry around about financial insecurity or uncertainty in your life. Many of us are afraid of being rejected, afraid of being alone in this world. We're afraid of losing the person we love most in this life. Maybe this morning you are facing something that feels overwhelmingly impossible to deal with. Maybe it's a health diagnosis. Some of us may be even struggling with the possibility of death for ourselves or a loved one. There are fears that are part of our lives, these abiding fears. There's an author of a children's book series. You may have heard of the series. It's called The Green Ember. If you haven't, I highly recommend it. But S.D. Smith is the author. And on the lips of one of the characters in that series, he says this. He says, all of life is a battle against fear. We fight it on one front, and it sneaks around to our flank. That so resonates with me. I find in my life that I can confront certain fears, and yet there are other fears that want to kind of come in on the side, that come in from behind me. There's things that I think I've got a handle on, but just when I do, there's some other fear that creeps up and wants to consume me. We all battle against fears, big and small. And so I would say we are well acquainted with fear. We understand fear. So when we read in John chapter 20, that Jesus' disciples are huddled in a locked room out of fear, we can understand We can connect at a visceral level because we know what it means to be afraid. Fear led them to hide. Fear led them to lock the doors. Their leader, Jesus, had been executed, and they feared, understandably so, that they were next. And so they hid out of fear. It's interesting to me, I just noted this week reading this passage, that when they're described as gathering in this room, they're not described as gathered in prayer. They're not described as gathered in worship. They're described as being gathered, and the only thing we're told is that they gathered and they were afraid. They were afraid. They were overcome with fear, which makes what happens next all the more extraordinary. It says here in chapter 20 that as they had gathered, Jesus came and stood among them and said, verse 19, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." It says he said that to them, and then he showed them his hands and his side. And then a little bit later in verse 21, it says, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." So that's twice Jesus' first words to his disciples out of the grave are, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." And then if you just skip down a little bit further, look at verse 26, right there at the end. Thomas was not there. Thomas is there 8 days later. He's skeptical. And what does Jesus do? He does the same thing again. They're still gathered in fear behind locked doors. He appears in the midst of them, and he says, so Thomas can hear it himself, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." The question I wondered was, why does Jesus keep saying this phrase? He says it three times here to his disciples. Three times he says, "Peace be with you." I don't know about you, when I think of peace, there's lots of different little kind of ideas that pop into my head. I was born in the mid-70s, but I remember hearing things about Vietnam. I remember hearing things about the 60s. I remember this whole kind of mantra, make love, not war, peace, peace, the peace movement, hippie movement. I remember all of that. That's kind of rolling around in my head somewhere. I've got ideas about peace that have something to do with kind of a need I feel for peace and quiet. I have an idea of peace that has something to do with kind of calmness and tranquility. You know, and I just have all these kind of pieces of peace floating around in my head. And so when I read this word peace, I think all those things inform what I understand Jesus to be saying. But I think it's important to maybe do a little bit of work to understand what does Jesus actually mean when he uses the word peace. The original Greek word for peace here is eirene, eirene. And eirene encompasses many of the ideas that I just said, this idea of kind of calmness or of kind of quietness. But it's more than that. In a sense, it means this idea of reconciliation, of bringing two things together that were apart. So in Scripture, we encounter this idea between two groups of people or two individuals or even between people and God. There's this idea of peace or of reconciliation. So eirene, interestingly enough, the root word of that actually comes from this idea of taking two pieces of something and weaving them together to make a whole. And so this idea of peace itself, rooted in Scripture, actually points us even further back into the Word, into God's Word, into the Hebrew, where we find a word that may be more familiar to us, shalom. Shalom is a very important word in the Scriptures. It's used in a lot of different ways. You'll find it in everything from the language of the Old Testament in conversation to music and poetry, in prayer. And shalom can have a range of meaning. In some sense, it's used as a greeting or as a farewell. So you might run into somebody on the road and you would say shalom. And as they're walking away, you might say again, shalom. But there's also a sense in which it means this idea of wholeness or completeness. Shalom points to this idea that things between us or things in the world are right and as they should be. And so when Jesus says, peace be with you, he's drawing all of this into that word. And what he's saying here is he's greeting his disciples, surely, with the word shalom, eirene, but he's also giving them a powerful word of encouragement and hope in the midst of their fear. Then and only when they hear these words are we told that the disciples were glad that they saw the Lord. Now, why is that? Why is it that they needed to hear these words? I imagine what it must have felt like to be Jesus' followers or in that room when he appeared in their midst. I imagine seeing Jesus would have conjured up all kinds of mixed feelings, from overwhelming joy that he's alive to a sense of worry and anxiety and maybe even shame. Remember that on the one hand, he was their friend, he was their teacher, he was their Lord. They loved this man. And yet, on the other hand, just as Jesus had predicted, when he was arrested, they scattered in fear. They had abandoned him. Peter, in fact, we're told, denied even knowing Jesus. And so they must have wondered, what will Jesus do? What will Jesus say to us in this moment? Which makes his words all the more incredible. Jesus, in that moment, says, peace be with you. Peace be with you because I have overcome sin and death. Peace be with you because I have not abandoned you. Peace be with you because I am not here to shame you or to condemn you. Peace be with you because you are forgiven, because you are reconciled through the cross. Peace be with you. How powerful these words must have been to the disciples. To have the Son of God stand in their midst and look them in the eye and say to them, without judgment or accusation, peace. Peace be with you. I think in a very profound way, these are words that we all long to hear. Peace be with you. Words that we need to hear. Again, because we all battle fear. And fear can be incredibly destructive in our lives. In fear, we can, like the disciples, hide. We can even hide from Jesus. In fear, we can turn our backs on God. In fear, we can break relationships. In fear, we can seek relief in all kinds of ways. We are a people longing for peace and for shalom. Author Rosaria Butterfield once shared about her own longing for peace. I remember hearing this account a while back, and it really stuck with me. It's important to know that she was a feminist professor living with her lesbian partner when she encountered Jesus. And this is how she described that encounter. She said, on April 5th, 2015, on Easter Sunday, it was the first time I had stepped into a church in 23 years. Having struggled with same-sex attraction, my early experience with the church was not a good one. I hated myself, I hated who I was, and I hated God. I didn't believe anyone loved me or could ever love me. I thought God hated me. Then I met a pastor and his wife, who, when I shared my struggles with my sexuality, they looked me in the eyes and they told me they loved me unconditionally for who I was and no matter what. She goes on to say these were the first people in her life who had ever said anything like this to her. And that they showed her welcome by inviting her into their home and to sit at their table and to share meals with them, where after dinner they would open up the Word of God and discover that God loved them unconditionally, that he is the God who died for her and forgives her. Later she added, it was a long road, but slowly I began to understand the transforming love of Jesus Christ. I began to understand Jesus' grace by experiencing the love and grace of a few people from my new church. Maybe you can identify with her fear and pain and shame. Maybe your struggle is very different, but just as real and just as difficult. Maybe you think, like she did, that the church isn't ultimately a safe place for you, and that God may never be able to forgive you. I know in my own life, and I would say in particular over the last few years, I have come to understand the power of fear at work in my own life. Fear rooted in shame that tells me things about myself that are not true. A voice within me that says, I'll never get it right. A shame that leads to a fear of being a disappointment to the Lord. Fear of being inadequate to the task of serving as a pastor. Fear that I'm a failure as a husband and as a dad. And that kind of fear, that kind of shame, it can eat away at your soul. It can destroy your life. And I will tell you from experience, you can't hide from it. You can't just pretend it's not there. You can't just try to avoid it. No locked doors, in other words, will ever keep it at bay. But there is hope. There's the good news of the resurrection. And on that first Easter night, God himself proved that. He walked into a room full of people who were racked with fear and doubt and guilt and sin. And he didn't condemn them. He didn't reject them. He said, peace. Peace be with you. Peace. Peace alone that Jesus can give. Peace that transforms. Peace because he alone has taken on our guilt, our shame. He took it with him onto the cross and he dealt with it there. He died there and he left it in the grave so that when he rose from the dead, we could be set free. You and I can know healing and forgiveness and freedom and wholeness and life with God as it was meant to be. We can know peace. We can know shalom because Jesus gives it to us. He breathes it onto us. He gives us his very spirit, the spirit of life. If all of life is a battle against fear in some sense, then the good news of the resurrection is that we can take heart because Jesus has already won the victory over all that we fear. Over sin and evil and death, that Jesus has our flank, that he has come to bring us true and lasting peace. And so today, brothers and sisters, my prayer is that we would receive this gift of peace, that we would know the peace of Jesus, that by his grace, we would know we are forgiven, we would be people of forgiveness, that we would know that we have his spirit, that we can live free from fear. That we would know the Lord's peace is with us. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for these precious words. Peace be with you. Lord, that may be hard for some of us to receive this morning. I know it's hard for me to receive at times. And so by a work of your Holy Spirit, do you open us to receive words of peace, words of wholeness, words of forgiveness. Lord, that we can come to you as we are, confess our sin before you, and receive your healing and forgiving work. Lord, we need your peace. Help us to hear these words spoken over us. Peace be with you. We pray all that in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.